episode 31. We're almost, my store has been closed for over 2 months now straight. So there's your timetable, Michael.
Good. Well, also today, as we're recording or live on Twitch, it's Memorial Day, which means we defeated coronavirus, right? Because that's why all my neighbors are outside partying right now.
Well, you guys are partying. Mine are going to crucify my governor. So.
Yeah. There's just a bunch of people, like right now in the background. Hopefully you don't hear the AC or the people partying. But it's 90 degrees today, so everyone is out.
Well, as long as your neighbors don't do what my brother did today and send me a picture of him wearing flip-flops and socks while he's grilling.
Gotta protect the feet while you grill.
So,
but also just wear shoes. If you're gonna do that, wear shoes.
Yeah, that's why he's the older brother and he's the almost over the hill brother. So
yeah.
So we are Digital Days Gaming. My name is Dave Hunt. I'm one of your hosts, and that other voice you hear is Michael Swick.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, we are a weekly podcast that comes to you every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. And we are also live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Digital Days Gaming. Any other show notes or socials that you need to know about are linked in the show notes below, as well as on our Twitch channel, like we mentioned before. So you can check out all those descriptions and Facebook groups and Discords and Twitter and our personal Twitters and all that stuff. But our goal is to continue to provide weekly content in the gaming world, whether it's digital, physical, whatever it is, and to be able to continue that during all of these weird times that we're going through, that hopefully we're near the end eventually, or maybe going down the hill part. I don't even know anymore. it's very important. We feel like it's very important for any kind of normalcy and routines to be stayed in place. So that's why we are continuing to make sure that we don't miss recording with you guys. And I say recording with you guys because we love interacting with you. We love messing with the community, playing games with the community, and so on and so forth. So we appreciate you guys hanging out, whether you're in chat, whether you're a Patreon subscriber, whether you just follow us, whether you retweet us, share us, all that fun stuff. We always appreciate it. However, I did notice today that we have more people listening to this episode weekly than we have followers on Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook.
Yes.
So if you haven't liked, followed to most of our social things, please take the time to do that. And especially like on Facebook, when you see us post something about the episode being released, just hit the share button and you don't even have to write a post. Just hit the share button so that somebody else on your timeline sees it and maybe gets introduced to it. But
you're allowed to share non-political things on Facebook. You can, I swear to God, you could.
So just let people know that we exist and we would appreciate it. That's all we're really asking for. And when you hit the share button, you don't even have to hit, you can click the right post or just share. Like, just let another set of eyes see that we have an episode. Michael takes strategic time to pick very strategic gifts for each episode, and you need to reward his effort.
Strategic. Yes. That's how I would describe it.
All right. We're going to jump right into the news. We do have a lot of news to talk about, so we're going to throw it over to Michael.
Stuff is happening. Thank you, Jeff Keighley, for doing stuff. This one kinda he's involved with. Fun story. Fortnite made their Party Royale mode, which is their new like club hangout part of the game, where it's just there's no weapons, no killing, it's just people hanging out, and this is going to be their event space from here on out. And one of the events they just threw was they premiered the trailer for Christopher Nolan's new movie Tenet. This was a 15-20 minute presentation that featured one of the actors, John David Robinson, talking about games. He did the usual, like, I've been playing games since the Game Boy thing that we always see celebrities do, which is just never not entertaining. But then it was followed with the world premiere trailer, which eventually made it out everywhere because, of course. But this is just a taste of what they're planning at Epic with Fortnite and specifically the Party Royale mode. I didn't participate in it because I don't download Fortnite, but this is just showing how big this game is still, where I almost feel like it's almost showing how big the game is, but also showing that The game will probably die soon as more corporations to start using this as a platform to advertise. What are your thoughts, Dave, on a world premiere movie trailer being in Fortnite?
I'm curious how much money Epic paid for it.
Or they paid Epic.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, like we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, like, why not just, premiere it on any of the documentaries that they're showing or any of these, like, you know, premiere it during this golf outing that they just had with Brady and Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Like, why are you putting it in Fortnite? You know, like, yeah, it's a big game, but it's not as big as having a commercial on NBC.
No one's watching stuff. Ratings are kind of down everywhere without big sporting events.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, they're watching NASCAR. They're watching the guys drive in circles. Put your trailer there. I don't see the positive to doing it in a gaming world. Like, that's all.
It seems weird to just do a trailer. Because it was out on YouTube. Like, Fortnite just had a window where it was exclusive to them. The Q&A is kind of cool. Keighley did announce that they are going to have a screening of one of Nolan's movies in Fortnite. Later this summer. Cool. Yeah. And the way they did the trailer, it looked like almost like a drive-in theater that they put the trailer on. So they are going to have one of his movies. It's probably not going to be Tenet. Tenet is still scheduled to be released theatrically later this summer. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, Nolan is like a very big patron of just like the theater experience. Like, he pushes like the IMAX experience, the theater. He wants his movies to be seen in a perfect setting, which is a movie theater. So it's weird that he partnered with Fortnite, but that was probably Warner Brothers more than anything in terms of like, hey, we're gonna do this in Fortnite whether you like it or not. But the fact that they're gonna put one of his movies available, it's probably gonna be the Batman movies. I feel like his other movies might not play too well to the Fortnite audience. I don't see Memento being in Fortnite for a bunch of, like, 13-year-olds.
Yeah, but the thing that I don't see either is premiering, like you said, a movie present, like, whatever he's going to do in the game. Like, I don't see the end game goal for Fortnite. Like, if somebody's interested in a Nolan movie and they want to check it out, they're going to download Fortnite, I guess, figure out how to see it, and then delete it and move on.
But that at least gets their numbers up, so then they can go to people that are invested in them and be like, look at our numbers. And that's all they want, is the numbers to be super high. And then, of course, the thing I've been saying for a long time, and it makes me sound like a conspiracy theorist, they get some data off of you, which is gold to everybody, advertisers especially.
But do you have to make an Epic account to even get in the game?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Like, it makes you a default Epic account, which then means they can bolster that, so then they can tell people, like, we have 100 million Epic accounts because of Fortnite, and maybe a million of them came from this movie premiere, which I doubt it.
Right.
I'm more fascinated by them screening a movie in there, and if that's successful enough, maybe we will have new movies try and premiere in Fortnite, even though it's a free experience, but what that would be like.
I applaud we've been talking about it since this whole quarantine thing. Like, I applaud anybody that's trying to think outside of the box and do something different. And, you know, we know it's like concerts. Like, they just did a concert recently. Like, I don't think that going to a concert in the next 6 to 7, 8 months is going to be a thing. So, you know, similar to maybe not going to the movies. And I guess maybe you can use Fortnite as the platform for that, and then possibly charge an admission of a fee to watch the movie. And then, like, that makes sense. Like, the platform itself is free to download, and if you want to see the movie, it costs $4 or $8 or whatever it is. And Epic and the movies, like, split it. I'll still be fascinated to see, as this quarantine or, you know, social distancing thing progresses, to where, like, it's going to come down to Labor Day weekend, a movie wants to come out, or a movie scheduled to come out, whether it's Marvel or whether it's, you know, whomever it is, if it's a big, big movie or not a big movie. And it's like, okay, movie theater's at 20% capacity. Do I want to release it on a Thursday night? And, you know, like, if it's 20% Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, get 80% of the revenue that I could have gotten or less, or do I want to release this for $12 on Vudu and just take all of it?
Yeah, or whatever the small cut it is for Vudu.
Yeah, and or whether, like, does that become Epic? Like, does that, does Fortnite become a funnel for, like, I don't know, I'm just using an example. The next Fast and the Furious movie is released exclusively on the Epic Store, like, through Fortnite?
That's what I was thinking. So Steam has been selling movies for years.
Yeah.
They could easily do, like, hey, you saw the trailer for Tenet in Fortnite? Here's a coupon code to buy the movie in the Epic Game Store sent to your email that's associated to your Epic account. They there's different ways they can partner into that. And I'm sure movie studios would love that because there's, what, like 100 million plus people playing Fortnite or accounts registered to Fortnite. The player count's obviously way lower than that.
Yeah.
But that's 100 million potential emails that they can send a coupon code out and then...
Well, they do it now. Download this game for free and get a $10 off coupon. It's like, okay, now I want to spend my coupon.
Yep, which freaking got me. I'm about to buy Origins on the PS on PC, even though I won't play it on PC, just because I downloaded Grand Theft Auto for free.
They gave it away for free recently. I think I have it on my account. Or no, that was something else. Another Assassin's Creed.
And they just gave Civ away, and then apparently they're going to give away the Borderlands collection soon. So
yeah, they give Borderlands away on PC. That would be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, this is cool. I can't wait to see how the screening of the movie goes. Someone in the chat, Rogue, said Interstellar would probably be a good movie for Fortnite, and that would probably work really well.
And he also talks about VR, and I think that VR is cool, but, and I'll talk about it later, like, there's nothing that's replacing watching a movie with somebody, and when you put VR on,
you just shut everyone out.
You isolate yourself. So I don't know. Like, if, like, that might be a viable option, but I don't think that would be the what I would consider to be the norm, is to have like four people sitting on a couch with headsets on. Like, I don't see that.
If the market for VR was big enough, that would probably be viable. But at the current state, where it's like there's like, what, 4 million PSVRs out there, that's not enough for anyone to put the time into it, or at least make a more optimal experience than the current watching movies in PSVR, which I did, and it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, and the Samsung has their thing too that seems to have died off, but I mean, it also makes it feel like your phone's gonna melt to your face.
Yeah, that thing runs hot sometimes.
Yeah.
Alright, let's move on to the next story. This one is another digital event popped up for later this summer. This one is gonna be a lot of Japanese publishers coming together and just doing a full day of premieres, gameplay trailers, and sounds like Q&A panels of some sort. It is called New Game Plus, and it is going to, let me just run down some of the people. Axis Game, Arc Systems, Gunho America, Idea Factory, Koei Tecmo, Natsume, NIS America, Sega of America, SNK, Spike Chunsoft, WayForward, and there's a couple other ones there as well. This is going to be June 23rd from 8 p.m. until an undisclosed time, but I heard some stuff about, like, it could be like a 8-hour event of just running. I mean, they have a lot of studios, and I'm hoping this means we'll get significant time with whatever the studios are bringing to this or publishers are bringing.
Yeah, it better not be 8 hours of sizzle reel. Please, God, no.
No. I'm hoping they have a full schedule and we're getting really good gameplay time. Hopefully they're learning from how, like, the Tony Hawk premiere was handled, where you got a 2-minute trailer, but then you got a 15-minute Q&A with you know, Tony Hawk and the PR. So hopefully there's stuff like that, and it would be interesting to just have more events. I'm so happy with how events are going. I'm so excited.
I feel like I'm missing a lot of them just because, like, some of the stuff you're putting on show notes, like, I didn't even realize that happened. And that's also just me kind of, like, not paying attention because, unfortunately, with the way that my job is right now, like, Michael will understand this from the retail talks we've had. Like, you used to get periodic segments of downtime where you could kind of, like, poke and, like, go through social media really quick. I don't have that as much now because I'm consistently, like, doing something. Because the store is closed, like, I'm constantly doing things. So it's, like, I've got, you know, whether I'm trying to get a certain amount of boxes out or I'm trying to put something out to somebody's car. Like, I just don't have the the physical down, like the brief breaks in time. I don't want to call it like a downtime, but I just don't have the breather of like, okay, I'm not talking to a customer right now. Like, let me step off the floor for a second. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm always off the floor now.
You can't even wipe the sweat off your brow because your hands are dirty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but like when I'm out, so before this all happened, before coronavirus, sorry, we're going to get into coronavirus.
Yeah.
I was constantly on my phone outside, just in the grocery store, looking at my phone, just like looking at a list, just distracting myself. Now when I'm outside, I do not look at my
outside.
Phone. Yeah, I do not look at my phone because it's like, shit, the phone's the dirtiest thing that we have on ourselves. And I don't want to touch it and then forget I touched it and then come home and bring a dirty phone home. To where now I don't look at my phone anytime I'm outside. And like, I'll go out and someone will text me and then I'm replying to them 4 or 5 hours later like, shit, sorry, I don't look at my phone anymore.
Yeah. No, it's so just more or less like not knowing. Like, I you know, guilty as charged. Like, I don't really, I know that there's a Summer Game Fest going on, but is there even like a formal schedule?
There is, but it's very basic right now. They're filling stuff in, like Jeff Keighley.
No, but I meant like, is like, can I watch Keighley's YouTube channel like every day at 2 o'clock and see something?
No. So there is a basic schedule, but it's like he's adding stuff to it, like based on when publishers announce something. So there is a Last of Us Part II State of Play coming up.
Yeah.
That wasn't marked in the calendar until today. Like 2 days before it, when
Sony controlled the announcement. Okay.
Yeah. And if you look at the month of May, there's nothing. And then if you look at June, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 things on this list for June.
Mm-hmm.
But he promises more games are coming. Because during a QA, he said this is all being done by him or a small team. And it's all being done on the fly. So it almost sounds like a company will email him and say, like, we want to show something. And then he will just pick a day.
Which is cool. And also, like, somewhat like, I get it. Like, there's no way you could put a schedule out 30 days in advance and say Sony Santa Monica on June 27th because people will go nuts
and then it'll get leaked or some shit.
Yeah, so I get it, but I also at the same time like wish that it was more kind of like mainstream to where like I know that okay, it's oh shoot, it's 2:30, let me look on his Twitter and see what he announced today, like similar to you know, whatever we're looking forward to at the current time. But also, there hasn't been a heavy hitter yet. Like, Tony Hawk was cool, but there hasn't been a, like, holy crap. Like, he hasn't had that. And that's not his fault. Like, we're not even in June
the
yet.
The tech demo was the closest to that. And that wasn't announced until, like, the day before, I think, that it was going to, he's going to do something that day.
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, it would be, like, something as an example, just because I'm, you know, I have a, you know, connection with the game. It'd be like, hey, like, Bungie coming on and saying, hey, next week on Thursday, we're going to be on Keighley's show and we're going to have something to talk about. That would send the community crazy. Or, you know, whether it's Halo or whatever it is, CD Projekt Red comes out and said, hey, June 28th, we're going to talk to Keighley. That would send people going crazy, even if that was announced on June 23rd. You know, or Ubisoft, you know, like their stuff isn't until July. So it makes me wonder with like if Ubisoft pushed themselves all the way out to July, what is June going to look like? Like what does Ubisoft already know?
Yeah. And there's that floating day for PlayStation, which I have a feeling once PlayStation finally does their
thing. Yeah.
The other floodgates games will open.
Yeah, absolutely. They're like the free agent domino in baseball or basketball. Like once this guy signs or announces what he's doing, the other things will line up based on that. And it has to be like when we talked about a couple of weeks ago with the Xbox event, them only having AA stuff. It has to be that these huge things that we're waiting to hear about must have some kind of connection to Sony.
It's either they have some contract connection or the stuff they want to show runs best on PlayStation hardware and they want it to show that because you have to put that little bumper at the bottom of like, you know, running on PlayStation, running on Xbox.
Right.
So they want their best foot forward. And for some of it could be PlayStation despite the Xbox's horsepower.
Yeah.
So another event to look forward to in the middle of June. I don't think there's any Game Fest affiliation with this one, but you never know. It seems like some stuff like Keighley, after it gets announced, then we'll put it on Summer Games Fest as like something he's helping with. But who knows at the end of the day. All right. another news story that I found. All right, so Suda51, he was doing a Twitch live stream with MomoCon, which is a convention that happens every year that obviously couldn't happen because of COVID. So he still attended a virtual Q&A, and he answered questions, and most of the questions he was answering were about video games he was a developer on or creator on that people want to see on new platforms. So he basically broke it down to, like, it's out of his hands for some of these. So just to run down the games that were mentioned during it, Killer 7, he's flat out said, like, that's a Capcom decision. You'd have to ask them. So I think he kind of went through the games of just, like, just to shut it down because people were constantly asking about his games. Yeah. Killer is Dead. He said the rights are half his and half Katawa Games. So he's like, you got to ask them. They have to agree to it for him to release it. And The Silver Case, this is a game that he actually said is possible, and he might be working on it. It's been ported a couple times to other platforms, I think PC, like 2-3 years ago. So it's like the work is kind of done. It's just a matter of if it, like, happens. And then a cult favorite of his, Flower Sun Rain, he says he's actually currently talking with developers on remaking, remastering, re-releasing this game. And then obviously the most important game for a lot of people, his studio, Grasshopper Manufacturer, they're still working on No More Heroes 3. For all these games, it was specifically mentioned for the Switch, because I guess a lot of games for remakes and remasters, especially older ones, they tend to run pretty well on the Switch because of the hardware, in terms of, like, how easy it is to develop for, and then the specs on the Switch, they're just low enough or high enough that they can run older games pretty well on them. But I don't know, I thought this was interesting just because we hear about everyone wants remakes, remasters. Everyone wants new games, but a lot of people want remakes and remasters. And just having a developer just come out and be like, this is what's possible, and this is why this is impossible, or whose decision it actually is, as opposed to people just constantly asking them on Twitter or social media, like, demanding certain games. Any thoughts on these, Dave? I have a feeling these aren't something.
Yeah, they're not my kind of games, but I respect I always respect any transparency from any kind of developer of saying, hey, like, developer, publisher, IP owner, you know, I'd love to. I enjoyed that, but I don't own the rights to it. You know, because there's always that common misconception of, like, oh, you're just lazy, you don't want to do it. Like, no, I do, but I don't own it.
And just the fact that, you know, when it comes to, like, Flower Sun Rain, he's like, I'm actually talking to developers about this, which to me makes it sound like I don't want to, like, I don't have time to do the work on this game, but I'm looking for partners to do this work.
Because maybe somebody, you know, maybe somebody will see it and be like, hey, I really want to do that and use that and, you know, make them and then they reach out. But maybe they didn't even know that he was looking for somebody because it didn't get to them or make it through the grapevine to them.
A developer or publisher who he could reach out to, which will transition to the other story, is
one that's a little bit too transparent.
Yeah, one's a little too transparent, but are always looking. Embracer Group, formerly known as THQ Nordic, which I didn't even realize they changed their name.
You wrote that in the notes. I'm like, who? Then I read it farther, and I'm like, oh, really?
I still get emails from THQ Nordic, but it sounds like they are in the process of changing their name, or they've officially changed their name, but they still keep the THQ Nordic name for whatever reason. But they had an investor call, and they said they have 60 unannounced games in development. 118 games in total in development, but 69 of them are unannounced. And they have currently over 3,000 developers working across the world. That's individual developers, obviously. So I don't know how many studios that equates to. But just for a quick refresh, THQ Nordic, or Embracer Group, they own, like, Volition, Deep Silver, Saber Interactive. They own a lot, and they're constantly releasing stuff, especially the THQ Nordic.
They own a lot of IPs as well. They've purchased a lot of IPs, which is usually kind of surprising what they actually physically own.
I would love to know the stuff they own that we just don't know about yet, especially with the 69
I mean, that's a little bit of a concern, like, when you sit there and say that you're, you know, like, you talk about maybe being spread too thin. Like, sure, there's different studios, like, but I don't think that they own more than 69 studios, so that automatically tells you that there are studios working on multiple things, and that always can somewhat be a concern, whether it's from a crunch standpoint or from a quality standpoint of what you're trying to produce. Now, yes, granted, if in development, I guess, it could mean remasters, remakes, redos, you know.
Mobile.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, at first, I thought that they put a time frame on this of their development, but it doesn't look like there's a time frame on it, because, you know, somebody will be counting, like, you said 69 games by 2024, and you're at 67 and a quarter.
Yeah. Which we'll have an exact number for our next story. But
maybe that's where I got it from. Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to Embracer Group, like, I joked about this on the Active Quest podcast, which I guested on, to where I almost wonder, when it comes to, like, when they announced this, did they just go to, like, the THQ Wikipedia, copy and paste? Because it seems like most of the games that they're getting are remasters, remakes. I mean, they have the SpongeBob game coming out in a couple weeks. Destroy All Humans, they own Volition, the Saints Row game remaster just came out, Saints Row the Third.
Did Volition work on that, though?
No, but it's...
Yeah.
They own the IP.
Yeah, I mean,
so
Volition's been quiet for a little while, too, because the last thing they did was Agents of Mayhem.
Yeah, so it's good that they're quiet, and hopefully what they come out with does well. But it's just... I want to know more about what they have. And an additional thing that happened during the investor call is they said they raised $166 million for further acquisitions of studios and IP, and they are currently negotiating with some developers and some IPs. So they aren't done expanding. So Suda 51 should probably give
talk
Embracer
to the Embracer,
group.
Yeah.
Because they have money to spend, and they really like remastering, remaking games. It seems to be working out for them, because financially they talked about, like, a growth. I think it was like 31% growth, but they've been buying things up, so
yeah.
There's,
I mean,
obviously
it's
some growth.
It's a developer call. I mean, I'm sorry. It's an earnings call, right?
Yeah.
Or no? So yeah, they've got to try to, you know, make sure that they keep their stockholders happy, and by telling them, like, hey, we've got this much overhead to spend and on acquiring new things, just to hopefully, like, that they don't sell their stock and run when they see a huge title come out. Like, hey, there's more in the pocket, you know, there's more in, you know, in there, and I get it. And then releasing, since earning calls have been released as a public thing now, it always seems to set things up differently, because the thing that's unfortunate about this is that what this comes down to is the bottom line, which is dollars and cents and profit.
Yep.
So, and most typical video gamers don't care about profit. They care about the game being a quality game, you know?
Yeah. It's funny though, when they say, like, they have like 69 unannounced games, I always wonder if to fudge those numbers, do they count games on specific platforms as like one?
Yeah.
Like, do they count, like, SpongeBob Rehydrated
as
on
four.
Xbox?
Yeah,
as four, because it's on four platforms. Just because, like you said, it's an investor's call. They have to, or an earnings call, they have to make it sound as nice as possible.
Right.
It's funny that they stopped at 69. Why couldn't they go higher, maybe? But it's what they have to do. Them acquiring more studios, Microsoft was on a buying spree. Sony wasn't on a huge buying spree, but they bought one big developer in Insomniac. Mm-hmm. And when you hear about Embracer buying up studios and Tencent buying up studios, you almost wonder how many studios are there that are actively available.
Well, especially
and is
when
there bidding wars.
In the cases of what we found out before, $166 million might not even be enough for a studio.
No, not at all. Yeah, I think the Conan developer.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think that's why they said in the call that it's like $160 million for, like, studios or IPs. So if they
right.
just they wanted to spy an IP, they'd just buy an IP and spread the money and then their studios as thin as possible.
Right.
But because it's earning call season, it feels like it's always earning call investor season. Take-Two announced that they have 93 games that they plan to release by March 2025.
Too specific.
Too very specific. IGN broke, or Video Games 24/7 broke the numbers down a little bit, and an analyst said that 63 of those games are core experiences, 17 are mid-core, which I don't know what that means.
What the hell is a core experience? Is that NBA 2K?
I would assume so. Like, you would probably put, like, the sports games in the core, right? And then mid-core is 17, and then 13 arcade casual.
Is WWE considered mid-core?
I would probably say because the WWE is a billion-dollar company, they probably bump them up to...
Or UFC?
Core. Do they still have UFC, or is EA still have UFC?
I don't remember.
It's hard to tell. UFC bounces between so many damn people.
So I'm just using it as an example. Like, I mean, just it's interesting. Like, does this mean, like, as an example, like an NBA Street game? Is that a mid-core? Is that an arcade casual? Are they going to try to make their own Blitz game? Or is this a match 3 game? Like, is how much mobile is involved in this? Like, it just sucks when they just paint with such a broad brush. And then, but they're also like, we're going to do this. And somebody's going to call them out later and be like, well, no, we released that. It was just a smartwatch game.
Yeah. So the VG 24/7 article says that it got broken down to 21 of those games are mobile.
Okay.
And 26 might be free to play games. So that like shows you that more than half is probably not stuff that like our audience would be interested in, because it's like mobile and free to play is probably like super casual mobile stuff. But still, that's a ton of games. But if you look at it the way Take-Two is, it's like they own Rockstar, which you'll probably discount one of those games as a Rockstar game.
Wait, do they own Rockstar or do they publish for Rockstar?
They own Rockstar.
Okay.
So they have that. Oh my god, if they didn't own Rockstar, I don't think we'd be even talking about 2K that often, or Take-Two. And one of those is going to be Rockstar, but it's probably only one game because Rockstar doesn't put a game out that often. So 5 years, probably one room for one Rockstar game. Other studios they own, they have like, you know, the 2K Sports teams.
So that's 5 games.
Yeah, that's 5 games right there, times 5, because we're talking over the next 5 years.
No, I'm just saying it's you know, per sport, whether it's, it's NBA, WWE, you know, that's 10 games right there.
Yeah. And then they have Private Division, which, you know, published the Obsidian game. They have the...
Outer Worlds, right?
Yeah, yeah, the Outer Worlds. They have the new game coming out from the former Bungie Disintegration.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they have a new studio that's being headed by the co-founder of Sledgehammer Games, and then they own Borderlands. They don't own Gearbox, but they own Borderlands, or they own a chunk of Borderlands. So they have some big hitters, but I have a feeling because Take-Two's so big, this is going to be a good chunk of... like mobile games, and then the sport games are going to take up like probably a quarter of that, especially over the next 5 years. Because what sport games do they still publish? Is it just NBA, WWE? We're going to count that as sports for the lulz. And then they don't have hockey anymore. They don't do baseball anymore. Mm. But they do multiple NBA games, right? They have like Playground. Oh no, Playground Saber Interactive.
Yeah. So it's I think it's just 2K. NBA 2K.
Yeah. So there's that. 93 games is a big number, but that's probably a big number.
Well, it just got cut in half by free-to-play and mobile, though. So
yeah, which they can pump out, like, who knows how many mobile games in a short period of time. They wouldn't confirm that any of the 93 games was related to Rockstar, but we can probably assume one of them will be Rockstar. And they can also remake, remaster their way through this if they wanted to as well. Because I'm wondering if this counts the Mafia games that technically two of the trilogy were released. The Mafia 2 was released this week, and then they re-released Mafia 3 with Mafia 1 coming out later this summer. So they have a lot of stuff they can do. And I think they still have a partnership with Ken Levine's studio, the Bioshock creator.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't heard anything about that in a couple years now.
Yeah, and we also don't know like what deals 2K has with other companies that aren't announced yet. Do they have a Sekiro-style deal that'll come out of left field? Like, we have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Maybe Agent will finally come out.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they'll release Agent.
Rockstar's just going to pull that out of their ass somehow.
Just out of nowhere, just stealth release it in Fortnite. But yeah, that is it for the news. Right. Seems pretty weak. Not pretty weak. Pretty busy week. Nothing groundbreaking, but we have stuff going, and Summer Games
Fest. Hopefully Tremors before the tidal wave. Like, I'm ready for a tidal wave.
Yeah, I'm hoping now that the Last of Us State of Play is coming this week that maybe then Sony can be like, okay, we've done our promotion for The Last of Us, we've done our promotion for Ghost of Tsushima, let us move on. And because there's no sporting events to advertise during, so there's not much that their marketing can do.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting, but I'm ready for somebody to come out. At this point in time, like Call of Duty to announce something, like I'm just ready for somebody.
Well, they're teasing Call of Duty. I don't know if you heard, but they're doing like there's bunkers in Warzone that you can get into with a key card. Like there's a mini game to get it, and then when you get in a bunker, there's like monitors and stuff that are like playing images. So it sounds like they're teasing the next Call of Duty game in Warzone, which could be cool way of marketing it, though. Mm-hmm. I will never see it in game myself because I'd be too busy trying to win the game.
I'm at the point now where I kind of want to wake up, turn my phone on, or get off work and look at Twitter and see something just come out of nowhere and somebody goes, what is this trailer? Like, and all of a sudden it's just a huge game that nobody was expecting coming. Like, I want the shock and awe moment of like similar to like Final Fantasy VII Remake's announcement or, you know, something just to just take control for a couple of hours.
Yeah. What I want, even though I liked the game, but then didn't like it over time, Fallout 4, I don't know if you remember how that was announced. Bethesda just put up a countdown at one point, and it looked like Fallout, the countdown, but everyone was excited, and then I think it led to a trailer. I want that. I want to turn on my phone and see a countdown an example, timer.
Like, and again, this is pure speculation, but like you're saying, like just to see Sony Santa Monica say, hey, 3:00, check it out. And then it just shows like the axe being thrown stuck into a wall, and it puts a 14-day timer on it. People go, what the hell?
Yeah, that's all I want. That's all Sony has to do, and then it'll break the internet for however long that timer is going.
Just put out a PS, put out the PS logo, :, and then start a digital clock. And they'll control the internet for that amount of time.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so many. I want so much from Sony, and they're just not giving it to me. And I'm blaming them for why we haven't heard much from.
Yeah. It's got to be something. Like, because like other developers are even coming out and saying, like, hey, yeah, we're going to be on next gen. We'll tell you more later. Like, what the
Yeah, it's like, just tell us now. It's like, no, we got to wait for next gen to be announced. It's like, son of a bitch.
All right, we're going to do what we're playing and watching. I'm going to go first. Mine's very short because if you guys are paying any attention on social media, I've been kind of like in a funk. Some of that has to do with I just bought a roof, which kind of hurt. but I needed to buy a roof. So that'll be in process of stuff going on at the house. And also just trying to navigate with my older kids. Like, both of their summer jobs got canceled, so they're trying to find work. And then I'm just trying to, you know, just kind of be there for my kids, and that's kind of, you know, kind of wearing me out a little bit. I played Destiny, like, for a couple of hours this week just to get the shotgun that they released. That was an old D1 weapon, and it was kind of a weird quest that was bugged like crazy. And then when it was finally all said and done, it took me, like, 2.5 hours to get it. So it's fun. It's fine. It's just another fetch thing in Destiny. See if they can pull themselves up by the bootstraps like they have multiple times already. I'm sure that they will. They'll dominate September, especially if this kind of weird stuff is still going on then. But watching, I don't know the exact, I don't remember the name of it right now, but we watched the Mr. Rogers movie.
The documentary or the movie?
The movie.
The movie?
Yeah, where he was like working with the writer that was for Esquire.
Yeah. It's actually more about the writer than Mr. Rogers, right?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Like, it just kind of had some weird pacing to it. Granted, again, like, I started watching it, and then I was dealing with the roofers, and then I had to finish watching it, like, the next day. So, like, for me, it wasn't, like, a sit-down to watch the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But like I've mentioned, you know, the last couple of weeks, my daughter has seemed to taken up this mantle of movie night, and she almost wants it to be like every night. And it's now it started down the she's seen very few of the Marvel movies, just because like we'll go to the theater and she won't want to go, and she'll stay at home. She'll stay home, or she won't go, or she'll watch Owen for us or whatever. And she just never had any desire to see them. And for some reason, like now she's decided that she wants to see them. So she again found this list of watching them in order of events happening. So we started with Captain America, the first Avenger one, and then we did Captain Marvel, and then we moved into Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. I forgot how weird Iron Man 2 was.
That is the Iron Man 3 was the bad guy,
the fake bad guy.
Okay,
so we haven't got the 3 yet, but then I also and then today we finished it. I forgot how good Thor, the first Thor, is.
Oh, you actually like the first Thor? I feel like most people walk away from the first Thor like
I mean, just setting it up in terms of like just, you know, the knowing what happens and now going back and watching it and seeing the little foundation block. But
the foundation.
Yeah. Seeing the small pieces that Marvel put into place, just, and again, even the stuff not necessarily being in a specific order of like when Thor's hammer landed in New Mexico and Coulson is having a conversation with Iron Man and he goes, I got to go to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Like all of the little intricate pieces that were put into place and realizing that, like, Black Widow and Hawkeye have been in these movies for so long, and they haven't been given their due yet of what they, you know, like, Black Widow's getting her due, and I think my daughter told me today, like, Hawkeye's going to have his own show on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it might be more about Kate Bishop, but I think he is attached to it. Yeah, I think he's training Kate Bishop.
Yeah, so it's just interesting, because going back and watching and knowing the events and seeing all the little hints to Thanos before they ever say who Thanos is, and it just shows like really far foresight of what they were trying to accomplish and how well it worked.
Yeah.
Will it work again in phase 3 or whatever that they're in? I have no idea. So, but she seems to be, you know, grasping them. She used to think that they were just bad movies. And I ask her what she thinks about the end of each one of them. And she likes them. She wants to see the next one. She wants to know what happens next and the dynamics and watching the movies evolve into more of like I said, like Thor was good. I thought Thor was good. Like, I was intrigued by it. Maybe it's because it's been so long since I'd seen it. But it's just interesting to see the evolution of how they got a little bit more funny and a little bit more over the top and a little bit more into themselves and then making the culmination and making it all work. So it was a fascinating feat. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it for playing and watching. Lots of Marvel movies and very little games lately. I'm very intrigued by looking at some of the reviews, and I know it'll be on Games Pass, but I'm very intrigued by Minecraft Dungeon.
Yeah, me too. Just because I can never really get fully into Minecraft, so having like a story-focused thing that's a dungeon crawler sounds kind of fun.
And cooperative.
Maybe we'll do some online co-op for that.
Yeah, so that's I'm very intrigued by that. So, but what did you play?
All right, so I played Crucible.
Oh, okay. That's the Amazon game, right?
Yeah, so this is the new free-to-play shooter from Amazon Game Studio. I think this might be one of the first games they've actually shipped, which is funny because they announced their game studios several years ago and acquired some people, and just nothing really happened of it. But we finally have a game, Crucible. It's a third-person sci-fi shooter. It's PvP with some PvP versus environment elements, so PvP VE. Though the environmental stuff is pretty light. Has three modes currently right now. It's like 4v4, 8v8, and then there's like a 2v2v2v2v2 mode. It's just basic stuff, you know, like deathmatch collection, specific modes, or not straightforward deathmatch, but modes you would expect in a shooter like this. It's definitely a shooter meant for PC. At least I'm playing on PC. I think it's only available on PC currently, because I was using a controller. There's no auto aim with the controller, which is obvious because that's, you don't do auto aim on PC. So I played controller. It was okay. Keyboard and mouse felt significantly better. The basis of the game is you pick a hero. There's 10 heroes to choose from, all a bunch of different abilities, and you are basically at this planet to just like drain its resources. It seems like that's you're just there to like take over, and take everything you can from this planet and compete against the other players. It feels kind of generic, but it could have potential. Being a free-to-play game, you're only, like, the things you can pay for is a battle pass to get cosmetics. They actually have, like, you can unlock through the loot boxes or whatever it is. You can get, like, audio tapes from your specific character, which gives you background on the character and story of the world, which is an interesting element. Though, if you're really interested in it, you'll probably have to get the battle pass just so you can burn through it and get all of the audio tapes. The environments, you're on this planet, there's a bunch of alien creatures on it, like four-legged monsters and plants that come up from the ground. And you kill them, collect orbs, or you kill enemies, collect orbs, or do the mission, get orbs, and those orbs then build up your level. So your character always starts at level 1 at the match, and as you gain more levels, you gain more abilities and unlocks. They'll make you, you know, survive and tougher in the actual level itself, which is, I like that aspect. So outside of the main mission, the only thing you take away from it is like cosmetics, but during the mission you level up and build out your character on the fly, which is an element that I enjoy. So it makes it even playing ground for everybody. The maps are really big, and one annoying aspect is it doesn't have voice or text chat. They shipped it without voice or text chat. I think it's coming. But it is a team-based shooter, so it was kind of hard to coordinate with people without text or voice chat. And since I was playing it by myself, I wasn't about to go join like their Discord to like chat and meet up with people, just because I barely use Discord right now, and I'm in like half a dozen channels, and I don't want to be in more servers. I don't understand how they released it without a voice or text chat. Like, I would use a text chat more than a voice chat, but because it's a team-based shooter, you need to coordinate with people. They have, like, a ping system like Apex Legends, but it's not as good as the ping system from Apex Legends. So, trying to work with the team on maps that are actually really large, that have multiple spawn points, it's really frustrating trying to figure things out and knowing that if I'm jumping in a game with random people that probably are on Discord on the other team, if they're actually working together and just being like, ah, shit, I just want to play by myself at 12 in the morning, which is when I played, I couldn't coordinate with anybody to, you know, pop on Discord. So that's a weird aspect that's I hope they fix soon, because a text chat will go a long way. Because some of the modes are fun. Like, my favorite mode is Hive Mind. I believe it's Hive Mind or something like that. To where a big creature will pop up on the map, and you need to take it down and then take the heart before the other team takes the heart. And you have to get 3 hearts to end the match. That was actually really fun, because it's a matter of just taking down the creature, which is stationary, but it still takes a long time to kill it. But then also trying to protect your teammates if someone's trying to take the heart before the other team can, like, come down on you and, like, steal it away from you. I like that mode, but it requires some sort of coordination, and there just isn't any way to coordinate any of that. But otherwise, like, it looks good. It plays okay. I did have a weird stuttering problem where my character would move forward, and then sometimes it'll, like, jump back, and the jumping feels a little too floaty, which I don't know if that's, like, on purpose or if that's just, like, some weird thing that hopefully they can tighten up later. But it could have potential, but I'm worried that launching without basic shit that you shouldn't have to patch in later on day one is probably gonna hurt this game in the long run. Especially there's too many things to compete against that if you don't come out with basic features
or something super unique on day one.
Yeah, and I don't feel like there's anything really unique about this game. Character designs are pretty nice, but like I like Bleeding Edge's character designs, and I don't know if you know anyone that's talking about Bleeding Edge anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm worried that they kind of blew it at their launch, and because it's an unknown thing, you know, it's like Amazon Game Studio, they're not going to have, like, the slack we would give, like, a Ubisoft in terms of, like, they've proven over time, or several times, that they will stick with a game and improve it, and it'll be legs years later.
Right.
Amazon gotta Games...
hit, gotta hit the ground running, man.
Yeah, you have to, especially competing with everything else. So, played that for a couple hours. We'll see if I load it up again, basically. It'll live on my hard drive for a little bit. So, last week I talked about Burnout Paradise. I actually got the Platinum. I had to work with strangers, which... surprisingly, I found a group of people, for the most part, that were pretty cool. I had to kick some people out of my server. I basically started a server at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just left my car in the stadium, and then eventually people, once the server got filled, figured out what I wanted, and then they all came to the stadium. It's funny, like, the only people playing Burnout still, maybe because I was playing at noon, but it was just like a bunch of little kids who would curse like crazy, and then I would have to kick them from the server. Or just, like, weird trolls. Like, I had one guy, like, he spent, like, a half hour talking shit and ramming my car. And he was laughing, like, oh, you suck, you can't play this game. And I wasn't playing. Like, I literally put my controller down once I got into the stadium because my server was empty. And then I was just, like, on my phone or on the Switch until the server went up, and this guy spent a half hour just ramming my car. And he wasn't a child, because he was on a mic and sounded like an adult. And I was just, I couldn't understand what the hell was going on. And he thought he was, like, really trolling me, but it's just like, my controller was just rumbling on the table while I'm on my Switch, just trying to do anything I can to get that 8-player meet up in the same location.
Yeah. Well, glad you got it, though.
Yeah, I got it. Now I'm going to work on the Platinum for Donut County. I'm basically going to go for easy Platinums while I'm still furloughed, just because I got nothing to do during the day.
Other than get our YouTube channel copyright striked.
Oh, yeah, which brings me to my next game. So I bought... I've been streaming Tony Hawk 3 on the Twitch channel. You can not find our copywritten video. Thank you, Blitzkrieg Bop. For existing and immediately, not only like,
hey, we're important enough to be copyright struck. No, even but though it's a bot that does it.
Yeah, here's the annoying thing: is usually with music, you just can't monetize the video, but it'll still exist. Blitzkrieg Bop just killed the video from the internet. Yeah. and if you go to our Twitch stream and past broadcasts, you can see me playing Tony Hawk 3, but they're all muted because of fucking Blitzkrieg Bop, which is super annoying. But
which I don't think has happened to any of the MLB. Like, I feel like MLB the Show has more licensed music in it.
Yeah, but they probably put in the agreement, like, hey, this will be streamed.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It's annoying. I think one of my Tony Hawk videos was not muted, and it didn't feature Blitzkrieg Bop. So the other songs are probably, like, okay with being on Twitch.
You think that... just as a reference to that, do you think that the Tony Hawk remasters will have selectable songs that you cannot play? You know what I mean? Like, you can click on a playlist of...
I would hope so.
Or a copyright-free mode, or, you know, like streamer mode. Like, Far Cry did that. Like,
Yeah. I would hope it would have streamer mode, especially knowing how popular games like Skate are still on Twitch, that they would go into it and make it friendly to be streamed, because that just benefits them more if it can be streamed and not muted. So I ended up eBay hunting Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, the day the announcement was made, just cause I wanted to play Tony Hawk 1 and 2 again, but I found out I didn't have them anymore. I know I don't have Tony Hawk 1 is cause it was on the N64, and then Tony Hawk 2, I probably traded in for Tony Hawk 3. So I eBay hunted, got a good deal on it because I bought it an hour after the remake was announced, which I'm glad I did.
Didn't have a chance to jack his prices up or whatever?
Yeah, because a day later, all the prices were double and triple. I can't find a good price on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1, sadly. But play Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. I might stream it, though. My God, that game needs to be remastered because it is rough to play now. Just it's a PS1 game, so it's just when you're skating through the level and the background is blank and doesn't come into the textures don't load or the geometry doesn't load until you get like 10 feet away from it is just kind of a buzzkill. And then, all right, the last thing, Dave, you might get a kick out of this because it just sounds like a pain in the ass and you would probably never want to try this. So, last week...
If you went through the whole process, I probably don't.
No, it's a fucking process. I talked about this on the Active Quest podcast as well. But, okay, so, are you familiar with the stock market in Animal Crossing?
No, but I saw you tweeting about selling your turnips for quibs.
Bells. Okay. And follows. So.
And it seems to be the quarantine game of choice, by the way, by anybody.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Including any of my video game PR friends. Cammy has it now, by the way.
Steve's been playing it, and he's making awesome stuff. Okay, so in Animal Crossing, a character will come every Sunday in the morning called Daisy May, and she will sell you turnips. And these turnips can then be sold to your store that's on your island or any player's island. And the price on the turnips changes, I think, twice every day. So it's basically the stock market, but for turnips. So every day you check your store and it's like, okay, they're worth 90 bells, they're worth 100 bells. And then you decide like, okay, do I take the chance and sell them? How much did I buy them from Daisy May? Okay, so on Monday, last Monday, Sarah's just getting off work and she loaded Animal Crossing because that's just what she does after work. Just loads up Animal Crossing, just does like whatever chores that, you know, she wants to do or projects on the island. And she checked the store and she was like, holy shit, our turnips are 603 bells. And sadly, we did not have any turnips to sell. So she's like, do you have any friends that would want to come to the island? Maybe message them. And she was going to message her friends. And then we just, you know, asked our friends if anyone wanted to go on it. That took like maybe like 20 minutes. And then she was like, well, I'm just going to tweet out that my turnips are this price. And Sarah's account, she has like 40, 50 followers. But so I wasn't expecting a lot. But as soon as she tweeted it out, she had 100 or so DM requests from Animal Crossing players that wanted her Dodo code, because you have to have a code, of course, because it's a Nintendo console, for people to visit your island. And
so that means that there's people that are literally searching phrases on Twitter for this.
Yes. I think she might have used one of the turnip hashtags, or she might have just hashtag turnip. Or turnip, whatever, however you pronounce it. And she did that, and then she had 100 requests, and at a certain point, we're just like, well, let's just see how many people we can get in and just do this. But Nintendo built Animal Crossing's online in the worst way possible. So there's a limit to how many people you can have on your island, and that's 8 people. Okay? And when someone's coming to your island, the game goes to a screen that says a person's coming on your island. It takes probably like 10 to 30 seconds, depending on their internet. And then it shows them arriving at the airport, and then they're on your island. You can't do anything while it's loading or while they're like doing that animation to come on your island. And then if you give out the code to 8 people, you can't do shit. And those people on your island then can't do anything because someone's coming to the island. And
then
no one can come to the island if you have your Nook phone or someone on the island is talking to a vendor. So the people were holding, there was a huge line, and we're trying to get through as many DMs as possible. We did this for 5 hours. And there's multiple.
Did they social distance on your island?
So we limited it because we can only have 8 people in. Also, if someone leaves the island, the screen goes black and then says someone's leaving your island, and then there's an animation of them walking through the airport and then leaving your island, and you can't play or do anything during that.
So you're saying it's a minimum 35, 45 second process of arriving and leaving where you can't do anything.
Correct. And if someone, one of the people on your island, is talking to an NPC, then the person can't leave or someone can't come in. And it will constantly flash on the screen, please close your device. Yes. Got 100 requests to go through. So at first, we were just kind of cherry picking, making sure we weren't like letting any horrible people on our island. So some people just never got replied back. We just deleted their DM because we like looked at their profile and were like, no, that's a fucked up profile. And then just wouldn't reply to them. But we tried.
So wait. You were being a dictator of who could or couldn't enter your island?
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you had like, I don't know, maybe a swastika icon, we weren't going to let you on the island. You know, like we were being strict with like, okay, we're not going to let this person on. And so we did that, and it was getting annoying because at first we had people come to our island. They would go to our store, sell their turnips, and then they would fuck off on the island and then talk to our NPCs, our villagers.
Can you kick them off the island?
No. You could like hit save and then it kicks you to the main menu and then they would get kicked and then potentially they could lose stuff. It's kind of a weird thing. This
sounds terrible. I'm never giving, if I ever get Animal Crossing, I'm never giving out my code.
So I'm not done yet. So like 2 hours, like it was like an hour into it. Sarah's like, this is it. I'm tired of like having to stalk people. Cause we're basically having her follow the people on the island of just like, get the fuck off. So then she was like, I'm just building a gate from the airport to the store to where they can't go anywhere but the store and out to the airport. So she built a gate because we can't move the physical store because it takes a day to move the store. So all she could do is build a gate. So she built a gate, like a straight line to there. And then it flowed pretty well. Like I had to message people and be like, hey, what's your Animal Crossing name so we can manage who's in and off the island and get through requests. And we did that for about 5 hours. Of course, I did the horrible thing of the last hour. I was just like, okay, you know what? If you want to come to the island, you can. Donations are optional. And people did donate. But I'm also like, hey, follow me on Twitter or something. You know? And some people did, which was
cool. You are such a social media whore.
Yeah. Amen. Because like when I saw like 100...
And to hear that, everybody, he had them follow him on Twitter. Not even DDG. Just him.
No, I got us some Twitch followers as well. I just don't want to say that on Twitch. So we did.
So we don't do follow for follow at Digital Days Gaming. We do follow for bells.
Yes. But it's funny. So like everyone that visited the island, because this is a huge market, there's actual websites dedicated as like the turnip exchange or something. So people were like, oh, how much do I have to donate to you to get on your island? And we're like, oh, no, donations are optional. So we had people.
But you can go here, patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming.
I mean, next time my turnips are really, if I get a turnip price like over 600, maybe I'm going to be a horrible person.
Dollar tip jar.
Yeah.
Guaranteed access to Turnip Island.
So we had people coming in the island, and even though donations were optional, we made like 6 million bells.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Which is a lot of bells.
So they can't wait. Let me just like, so they came to your island and sold their turnips because you had a high price.
Yes.
Okay. And then they essentially tipped you on the way out.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we had one guy.
So you prostituted your island.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just only going to take money from Tom Nook. So who cares? But we had multiple people come buy multiple times. So here's the thing about Animal Crossing.
You have repeat customers at your prostitution island.
No, well, it's funny. So there's this one guy. He came to the island 6 times. He was really fucking annoyed because most people were coming to the island one time and then leaving. And we didn't want people to come back multiple times because of the loading situation that I told you before. Because it just takes up time. We want to get through all the DMs as much as possible.
Oh my gosh.
So this guy came like 6 times and we're getting really annoyed, but then he tipped us like 400,000 bells. And then we were just, you know, we're like, all right, keep coming back. That's fine. It was fucking crazy. And then we ended up with like 6 million bells. Some people were tipping like 1,000 bells, 10,000 bells. Some people were tipping 100,000 bells. The crazy thing is, so the guy who came 6 times, if he tipped us 400,000, we don't even want to know how much he made, because there's only 30 inventory slots that you have on your person. And you can only have 10 turnips in each inventory slot. He came 6 times, which means he filled his inventory
5 additional times.
Yes. And our bells are selling for 600. And we're assuming he's coming with his inventory completely full, because then why would he do multiple trips?
So each inventory slot, you say, can hold 10 turnips?
Yes. And there's 30 slots. So 300 turnips times 600 bells times 6. Like this dude made bank. You're doing the math right now because you're just curious.
Like 1.1 mil.
Yeah.
Each time.
Like,
so he made like 6 million off you.
Yeah, and tipped us only 400,000, that son of a bitch. But like, I don't know, it was weird. So like, me and Sarah the entire time were just laughing, just because like the DMs just like filled up. And then at a certain point, we had to like police it of just like, okay, if they're being assholes, we're not going to let them on the island. If they're being rude, if they don't respond within an hour or two, we're not going to like give them the dodo code. And it was oddly satisfying, like helping all these people, because so many people were like really cool. It was like kind of amazing. The Animal Crossing community is crazy, but there's also
these
a lot
are
of
just
nice
the
people.
Ones that pay attention to Twitter.
Yes,
and then deep pay attention to Twitter.
Yeah,
because you, I mean, whether if she didn't use a hashtag, then they were searching key phrases,
mm-hmm.
which means they actually like understand how Twitter works, which not a lot of people do.
Yeah, like she used a hashtag, I didn't. She got like 100 some requests, I didn't use the hashtag, and I got like 50 requests within like 2-3 minutes. It's crazy, and the game's been out for like a month or two, so like I we didn't think it was gonna get that crazy.
Telling you, man, it's the quarantine game.
It's like
I don't even know if like it sounds bad to say it, but Nintendo's probably like okay, not that bad of a time to release this.
Oh man, turnips are just—it's insane. I like now I'm checking the store constantly, even if I don't have turnips. It's because I bought my basement, I paid off my attic, and I bought my basement. So like my house is now complete after this. So, I built a wrestling ring in my basement.
I am never getting this game because I will lose my wife.
So like okay, so I have like my kitchen, my bedroom, my bathroom, my living room, and then my attic, I'm building an arcade. My basement, I'm building a wrestling like arena, and just it's pretty good.
Gonna be on Animal, are you gonna be on Animal Crossing Cribs or something?
Oh, Animal Talking with Gary Wooder. Have you seen Talking?
No, I have not. It was a joke. Is that a real thing?
So there is a YouTube channel where the guy visits people's island. And it's actually pretty successful.
Gosh.
I forget what the name of that is, but it's really cool because people do some amazing things in Animal Crossing with the tools that are there. But then also Gary Whitta, who wrote Rogue One and the Book of Eli, he has a talk show on Twitch called Animal Talking, where he, in his basement, built a late night movie studio or a late night talk show. And he's had Elijah Wood on, Danny Trejo, Felicia Day. And he has celebrities in Animal Crossing visit his home, and
let's
then
just,
he interviews them.
Let's just be clear that you would make fun of me for signing onto a game daily to do bounties or daily practice things that
I
would
actually.
Yeah,
that's fucking stupid.
And you're paying attention to a digital stock market selling turnips for bells, and I've got the problem.
I built a wrestling ring in my basement. You got a shotgun you won't even use.
I used the shotgun. I shot it, at least. You're not going to use the wrestling ring.
No, I already had my character roll in it. He can't roll in it all the way because it's...
Can he wrestle somebody else?
Nope.
Okay.
But it looks cool, and that shotgun you're going to forget about when they nerf it the next patch or something. But yeah, that was my gaming experience.
Oh my
Animal
God.
Crossing is fucking wild. Other than that, I finished Breaking Bad. I watched the movie El Camino, which was really awesome. I love, like, actual closure, and El Camino gave me closure on Breaking Bad, and now I'm watching the prequel series Better Call Saul, which is really good, and I'm hoping it gives me closure for the Saul character from Breaking Bad, because it's each season starts with him in current time, and then it just shows his past for the rest of the season. So I'm hoping as they build, I'll get some closure on that character. And then AEW had a pay-per-view. I'm not going to talk about it too much. The ladder match was good. The women's match was good. They did a 5-on-5 wrestling match in the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium, like on the field, and they were all around the arena, which is just insane. Like, the owner of AEW is the son of the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I just would love to know how much...
Oh, that owner of the Jaguars?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was saying, yeah. I know the owner of Carolina Panthers, like, prints money now.
Yeah, no. So I know he's got money. I just want to know how aware he is of the product his son is making in terms of, like, when he asks his dad, like, hey, can I use the stadium that's currently, like, abandoned because there's no football games? Can I use it for my wrestling pay-per-view? Like, the idea that, like, you have that much money that you can ask your dad if you can rent the arena or use a football stadium. And then he's like, oh, can I also get the Jacksonville Jaguar cheerleaders to be on the sidelines in face masks? Cause they're not doing anything right now anyway, either. And then I just want to know what the dad is like. Does he look at the product and is like, did you really have a wrestler get chased by a horse on my football stadium? Like, it's bizarre. It's weird. It was great.
Yes, Dad, I did, but look how many people watched it.
Yeah, look how many people watched it. Look how many people watched the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. Oh, no one watched the Jacksonville Jaguars last week.
Look how many people saw your logo for your team that won't have any fans this September.
Yeah. Like, look, your cheerleaders. They're
not that they would have any fans in their stadium, even if it wasn't a pandemic going on.
Yeah.
And that's from a Lions fan.
Damn. That's from someone who's lost the Thanksgiving game because they don't have enough people in a stadium. That happened, right? A couple, like, probably 5 years ago. The Lions, like, lost a football game because they didn't have people.
No, they haven't lost it yet, so.
Yeah, but that's it for playing and watching.
All right. You want to read the first question?
Yeah. Let us... All right, this is... Chris V, I busted out the PS3 FAT to play some classic fighting games that I have on a PS2. Do you guys have any favorites? I think he's talking about, like, fighting games, or if there's any, like, classic PS2 games. I think he's specifically talking about fighting games.
I mean, I have memories of playing, like, a lot of Street Fighter against my brother. And just doing a lot of button mashing, but it's mostly Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never really got too much into fighting games. I still remember playing some of, like, Ultraman fighting games before. And just some other, you know, just random crap like that. But nothing too crazy, so.
Yeah. Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York are probably two fighting games that I really, really enjoyed playing. Back in the day, and then the Marvel vs. Capcom games, like the early ones, like the Dreamcast, PS1, PS2. Those are some that I really enjoyed playing back in the day. I have Def Jam for Fight for New York still. I've been wanting to play it on stream, but I just don't know how bad that game has aged. So I don't know if I'm going to do that. And it's also going to be a game that probably gets muted, like, if I try and stream it, because it's just all current day artists or artists from back in the day and their music in that game. So probably one of my favorite games. And then, do the wrestling games count as fighting games?
No.
Okay, so no wrestling games. You want to take the next one?
Yeah. Stefan W. writes, when you inevitably run out of space on the PS5's SSD and start using external HDD hard disk drive to run your games off, will you lose the benefit of the SSD, or will it still cache certain parts of the SSD to keep those benefits? So what he's asking is, we know that the SSD is a crucial part of the PS5 next-gen console. I believe that, and he's asking, like, expandable in PS4 and PS3, you could actually change the hard drive out, put different hard drives in, and it's actually shown lately that PS4 benefits from an SSD drive in the system for games that you continuously play. Mm-hmm. I believe Mark Cerny talked about this during his boring PlayStation 5 reveal. Yeah. And you'll have to get a specific hard drive, like a proprietary hard drive that's specific to what Sony's... It's going to have to fit Sony's criteria. And currently, those hard drives don't exist yet.
Yeah, so I believe what it is the... You can replace the internal with those hard drives that don't really exist yet, or they're really expensive. You can get an external drive, but it could only play PS4 games off that external drive.
Mm-hmm.
So you can install your PS4 games to that external drive, and you can move some of your PS5 games to that external drive, but they won't play from there. So you'll have to move the data as needed. So you'll have to do that. If you need to do anything. So you're limited to what you can do from there. But at least you'll be able to put your PS4 games on the external drive if you want.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What is the next question? So Lebetsky, who was in chat earlier today, what's more likely to happen? A Resistance Collection remastered or Sunset Overdrive on PS4? Or Turok on PS4, LOL, at Michael. Ask Digital Days. I honestly think it'd be a Sunset Overdrive. Between those two would be more likely, because Insomniac owns the IP to Sunset Overdrive. Sony now owns Insomniac, and they could release or announce a sequel and say, hey, like, play the first one, you know, remastered when you pre-order or something.
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive, I would be curious to see, like, what the rights are on that, or if they would care enough to do that. Turok technically has a remaster, but it's just not on PlayStation. It's on Switch and Xbox, and I think PC. For whatever reason, it's not on PlayStation. I'm thinking that's just, like, some weird time exclusive thing, so my gut says Turok is the one that we would see on PS4 first, because it's, like, technically the work's already there. It's just, for whatever reason, it just hasn't happened yet. I want a Resistance remaster, though. I would love a Resistance remaster.
I think we would have seen it by now.
I think so, too, unless it's a PS5 theme, but that would be an... I love Resistance, but that would be an underwhelming, like, PS5 reveal.
And it wouldn't be Insomniac at this point.
Yeah. That would be kind of underwhelming.
I mean, the only thing that would help facilitate it to even be more possible is now that Sony owns them, they can say, hey, we're going to do this with your IP, versus Insomniac before saying, no, you're not.
Yeah.
So. That would be it. All right. That is our question. So please remember to send us questions using hashtag AskDigitalDays. You can put them on the Facebook group. You can put them on the Facebook page. You can put them on Twitter. You can tweet at DigitalDaysPod. You can just use the hashtag. You don't even have to tweet at us or tag us in it. Plenty of stuff is, you know, coming through the pipeline over the next couple of weeks, hopefully. We will be recording another bonus episode for Patreon subscribers of the $7 tier. You get a bonus episode every month. The $5 tier gets you 24-hour early access, so you get the podcast on Wednesday instead of Thursday. And then the $3 tier gets you access to the Discord private server, and then the $1 tip jar. So if you are able to support us in any of those ways, that is greatly appreciated. If not, then that is totally fine as well. Then they will be able to let us support the show, you know, and just build more things. We're still looking for topics for our bonus episodes going forward. We've got a couple things in the, you know, already written down. Sorry, my train of thought is totally rattled. a couple things written down that are going to be tentative topics, but we would love to hear what other things that you'd like to hear. And we probably about 90 days out, we'll release one or two of these bonus episodes just so you guys can maybe, you know, hear what you're missing and maybe what your value is there if you're able to support us. If not, then that's totally fine. Just you don't get to hear the cool stories that aren't gaming related.
Yep.
So, other than that, Michael, you got anything else?
Not much. I'm probably just going to play it a bit more Crucible, plan out the bonus episodes. And hopefully we get some decent release games coming out. I'm going to check out a few indie games, hopefully, this week. Just because it seems like we're kind of... There's nothing big coming out until The Last of Us in the middle of June. But till then, don't know what I'm going to be playing. Just going to probably be platinum grinding a couple things.
Like I said earlier, I kind of really want to check out Minecraft Dungeon, see if it holds my attention. If you're playing it, if you're on Games Pass or anything like that, I think it's on Game Pass. So yeah. I would love to group up. I don't think it supports crossplay based on what I've seen, so you probably have to have it on PC. But please, like, tweet at me, let me know. I'll probably stream it if I get enough energy when I get home from work. That's been the main thing, is that I've been falling asleep at times where I probably shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Just trying to function and focus. But other than that, I hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe and keep moving forward.
Okay. See you.